focus on the future. Go on, say that with me. Focus on the future. Say it to your neighbor. Focus on the future. Rachel said it earlier. Tell your other neighbor, focus on Jesus. Oh, that went a bit quieter. God has a plan for your life, no matter how 2023 worked out. God is not finished with you, me, or our church yet. He who has begun a good work in us, the Bible says, is going to keep on doing it until that day. Hallelujah. Exciting times. When I heard the news of Dan and Lucy having a baby, it took me back. And I focused on the past for a little while. And then I remembered just how long ago that was that we held our babies. And how that in those days we were so absorbed with the now, but also had a little bit of a dream about the future, because you do when you hold a baby, don't you? You think about the potential. Now I look at myself and I don't so much think about the potential, I think about surviving the day. No, it's not true. I'm still very focused on the future. And we congratulate you guys. It's great. God has a word to speak to you and you, there you go, you sat at home, that says, focus on the future. Many, many years ago, there was a song that was Bill Gaither wrote, and it says something like this, and you've heard me quote it before. Yesterday's gone, but tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment right now. Yesterday's gone. You can't change 2023. It might have been great. It's okay. There's going to be great in 24. It might have been terrible. It's okay. God can change it for 24. Because God's got better things, always better. If 23 was great for you, it's still going to be better. Does it mean it's going to be trouble-free? No. Does it mean that it's going to be, you know, the Bible talks about us, him preparing for us a table. I think, yeah, in the presence of our enemies. Trouble will always be with you. He talks about us being more than an overcomer. Why? Because there'll be things to overcome. But he does say you're going to be more than a conqueror through Christ. No matter what has beset you, no matter what has been behind you, whatever, God has a plan. That's Bible. Let's establish it from the Bible. We're going to read 5 Bible verses together, and I want you to get hold of these. If you're making notes, and thank you, I can see a lot of pens out around the place. Write these down. You're going to need these this year. Number one is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, and it says this, I keep on thinking about the past. Is that what it says? Come on, wakey, wakey. Stay with me. No, I press on. That means focus on the future. I look forward to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. So there's a that. It's a something. There's a purpose. There's a real purpose in your life that God took hold of you for. And it says this, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting 2023, forgetting what is behind, I strain towards what is ahead. Strain is quite a strong word there. It actually really means you stretch yourself forward and you're not carried along with the winter wind that blows the autumn leaf across the road. But no, you are determined to go somewhere, and no matter how, if the wind is blowing, the rain is coming, everything is against you, you're going to hear what I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. You are going to become more than a conqueror. You're going to win through. Why? Because you're pressing on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called you in Christ Jesus. So the calling, the one thing that God has called you to do, it refers to as being like a goal. It's the most important thing in your life. What is your goal in 2024? There is a God-given goal over your life. And I want to speak very straightly this morning to you and to me. Let's not miss out on scoring the goal. Let's not get so caught up with this or that or the other that we actually fail to score the goal, to actually fulfill our purpose. It's called destiny. That's part of the reason why we call our church Destiny. God has got a destiny on every one of our lives. And we don't waste this year, ladies and gentlemen. Don't waste a day of it. Don't waste a day of it by being miserable. Don't waste a day of it by being unforgiving. Don't waste a day of it by holding some bitterness against somebody else. Don't waste a day of it by chasing something that is not part of that dream, that goal. We've got to focus on what the goal is. You see, focusing on the future isn't just generally focusing on the future. It's focusing on the goal for which Christ has called you heavenwards. There's a purpose for you in your life that God wants you to fulfill. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now, these are, you know this verse so well. I know the plans that I have for you. Say, oh, Lord. But right now, it's not looking great. I know. I know what it's like to wake up in the morning and feel like I can't do it anymore. I know what it's like to stand with people who are in a situation where the day came, but the light never came. It's like waking up these days at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's completely pitch black outside, and you say, it's supposed to be light when you wake up, isn't it? Well, it will be. Hold on. Help is on the way. Hold on. The time changes. Hold on. The hour will change even. The first time that happens for me, I just love it. It feels like I come alive. I am one of those sad people, you know that. I don't just love the summer. I know the plans that I have for you. Whatever is going on for you can't change what God's plan, God's purpose, God's desire for you is. And it says those plans are to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future. It might feel hopeless right now for you, for your marriage, for your children, for your finances, for your health. It might feel like, no, there's no way forward. I want to tell you something. Don't argue with me about that. You take that up with God, because God said that he's got good plans for you. And for that, we are very, very glad, aren't we? Hallelujah. Go on, risk a hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't like that. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 says, keep reminding yourself about the former things. Or does it start with the word forget? Well, some of us are pretty good at forgetting, aren't we? Sometimes, you know, Rachel will say to me sometimes, oh, I forgot. And I say, I don't understand how you can forget. I never forget anything. It's interesting how we hold on to a dream of yesterday sometimes. And the dream about our yesterday makes yesterday, we paint it with bright colors and we gilt it and we put a bright, you know, and we make our yesterday sometimes far better than they ever were. I have dreams of my yesterdays, and I think like, wow, that would be great to be like that again. Do you know, when we were living our yesterday, it wasn't so good. It's just in our memory sometimes that we make them sometimes better than what they were. Well, yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come. So forget the former thing. Now, this was being spoken to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, so it has a context, but I believe it has a context for us as we start 2024. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, the Bible says. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you see it? Don't you perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God is doing something new. We're not regurgitating the old. We're not retrofitting the old. We are saying to God, and he's saying to us, this is a new day, it's a new year, it's a new time, there's a new freshness, there's a new spring, there's a new blessing, there's a new outpouring. These are new days. Yesterday might not have been very good for you, but you know, a new day is coming. It doesn't really matter what yesterday was like. God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. I believe that this message is double-barreled all the way through. It's for you, and it's for us as a church. God is doing a new thing in your life. He wants to do a new thing. The very reason that you're sat here today is part of your new thing. It's your new day. Some of you, you've never sat here before, but you're going to be sitting here for a very long time in years to come, because you said, I found where I belong, and in this house I will grow. Some of you have been sat here for a very long time, and you're not saying, oh, well, I've done it all. I've been there. You can't teach me anything. if you're anything like me, you're hungry before God today, and you're saying, God, I want to be involved in the new. I want to see the new. Teach me again. Show me more. This is my day of new things. Don't you perceive it? Well, listen, if you perceive it, hallelujah, it will keep you up in the night. It will fill your mind full of dreams. It will motivate you. It will. And don't be surprised, though, that some other people around you will not see it. Some of those people will be long-term Christians. Some of those people will have very different ideas than you and me and us together, and they will not perceive what God is doing. Some people really wish that it wasn't going to be such a blessing for you, because they're not going to enjoy you to see you so blessed as you are. That's how people are sometimes about me and even about our church. But I tell you something, I've seen something. And I'm not quoting a quote from the liberations of America. I have a dream, but I want to tell you something. I have a dream today. I've seen it. I've seen God building his church. I've seen his people blessed. I've seen it in my heart. I'm seeing some of it happen. I'm not seeing it happen in the extent and to the speed that I want to see it happen, but I want to tell you, so I perceive it, I see it, I dream about it. It's called vision, and if we're going to focus on the future, we need to understand it. Do you not perceive it? And he says, I'm making a way in the desert. You thought it was dry and dusty. God's making a way in the desert. In the wasteland, you thought there was going to be nothing good there. I want to tell you, out of a wasteland or a desert experience that you might be in right now, God will make a way for you. He's been doing that for us as a church. He's going to do it for you. And we are going to become an oasis of blessing for a world that is desperately in need. You know, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And people are going to come in here, flocking in here, in greater numbers than we already see them. And we're going to provide them with an opportunity to taste of the richness of God's goodness and the freshness of the river of life. Where the river of life flows, the Bible says, there's life. And I tell you, we're going to become a source of life. Oh, hallelujah for all the promises of God. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 for our fourth verse says this: I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The gates of hell, it's one of the names for, that's not the subject for me today, but the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. Jesus said, I'll build my church. I read an article the other day in one of the local, in one of the daily newspapers that says, the church is missing out, it's losing out, it's closing down, and there's all these statistics. And I thought, you have not interviewed me, Sunshine. You have not been a Destiny Church and seen what God is doing. You know, God's plan is to build his church. He'll do it because he's able. And by the way, he's never going to declare something that isn't going to happen, because his word will return to him and fulfill that for which it was sent. When he said, I'll build my church, he'll build his church. Some religious institutions will fail. Some religious institutions failed during the pandemic and never opened again. Some religious institutions are so unfit for purpose, they probably deserve to fail. And so would we if we fail to stay in the thrust of what God is saying to us. But God is saying to us, I will build my church. And I want to say, Destiny, God is building his church here. He's doing a good job. I just wrote it in Dear Destiny. If you didn't read Dear Destiny this week, you need to get back and read it, or log yourself on so you can read it. God is building his church, and he's doing a good job. Hallelujah. We just had, I believe, one of the most effective Christmas outreaches that we've ever had in our history. Touched so many people. This place filled to capacity again and again and again. And again, second service will be like that this morning, I'm very sure. But look how many people are even here for the first service. God is doing something. It's exciting. Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church. I'm glad to be involved. My fifth verse before I expand on all of this is from the book of Haggai, verse 2, verse 9. And it says, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former, says the Lord. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, that's very linked into some of those verses that we've just done about not harking on about the past and looking to the history and looking. I want to tell you something. I cannot relive wherever I've been. That's done and dusted. It's finished. The chapters are written. but the book is not finished yet. Hallelujah. And I believe these end chapters are going to be greater than the sum of all of the chapters that precede where we're at right now. The glory of this former house is going to be greater. The glory of this house, the present house, is going to be greater than the glory of the former. We are in for an exciting ride. We're in for an incredible moment of God building his church, his glory shining up. And I'm excited to be involved in a live church, aren't you? His plan is to bless us. His plan for you and for church is to help us to overcome, to restore, to heal, to prosper, to ensure that the purpose of our lives, that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, do you remember that, is actually fulfilled. You know, we all get setbacks. Don't let the setback become a permanent thing. Let the setback be a momentary thing. Let the setback be those moments where we like re-catch our breath and we say, oh God. Don't die unfulfilled. Don't die before your time. Don't die. Outside, by the way, we can stay alive but die on the inside. How many of you have met people like that? I've met people who, we call them once rans. They once ran, but something died on the inside, and now they sit still. They sit with a solemn look. They sit with a mood. They sit with, and it's like, come on, Holy Spirit, come and help us. Let every person in our church be alive with the glory of God, with the fire of God. Or else, if we don't deal with it, our zeal will turn to apathy. Our willingness will turn to self-centeredness. Our joy will start to wear a new face, and it's called a moody attitude. And we start to withdraw to being helpful, to being willing, to being bright, to being involved. God doesn't want you or me to be a moody so-and-so. He wants us to be full of it, amen? We need to be full-on, bright, happy, willing, serving, glory. The Bible says, rejoice. And again, I say, sit down in a mood. It doesn't say that. It says, and again, I say to you, rejoice. Oh, Spirit of the living God, so fill our church and so fill us in our hearts and our minds with such a rejoicing that we're too hot to handle. Amen? Let me share with you something that happened to me and Rachel this week. On New Year's Day, we were not very good, but we decided we needed some fresh air. So we went for a little walk by the canal. And I was thinking about the canal, and then I was doing a video blog to all the DCI pastors around the world, and we recorded this blog sat by the side of the canal. And I was starting to think about the history of the canals. You know, they were built in the late 1700s. A couple of the guys who were so involved in that were called James Brindley and Thomas Telford. And I was thinking about what they went through to get those canals built. Some of them, it took them years upon years upon years upon years just to get through the legal obstacles. They went to the government, and the government said no. They went to the landowners, and they said no. They went to the banks, and they said no. And every time they said no, but these guys were pioneers. And they said, we are going to break through. Now, it wasn't a case that they could say to everybody else, see how effective the canals are in the rest of the country. We just want to build an extra bit of canal. No, they were pioneers. To go and talk to somebody about a canal, I mean, could you imagine going to try and tell somebody what a canal is? Well, it's like a river, but it isn't like a river because it's man-made. And its purpose is so that we can have some tranquil water for leisure boaters. No, its purpose was for industry, and it was going to bring in what history now tells us was the Industrial Revolution. They pushed, they struggled, there was sometimes, you know, they hit a bit of land that they couldn't buy, and everybody else, short of Brindley or somebody like that, would have said, oh, we can't do it. So they said, no, that's fine. We'll go around your field, and there's a big sharp turn in the canal, and you go down here, and then there's a sharp turn, and you come back, and you carry on. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Right now, you know, we face obstacles. The church faces obstacles, and I feel like a canal builder, and sometimes inside my heart, I say, I want to be a pioneer. You know, it must have been very difficult for those guys to stand up in the community or even in government and say, we're going to build a canal. And they go, what? What's one of them? I talk about seeing a church glorious, so massive, so whatever, that the police are going to have to control our traffic coming in on a Sunday. And the ordinary people go, what are you talking about? And I'm saying, I've seen something. I feel in my heart like a pioneer in that, because I'm focusing on the future. They built in the middle of opposition. But it was only for a season. Not long after that, some bright spot decided they could build a steam engine. George Stephenson built the rocket, and a little while after that, one of the very first railways opened up between Darlington and Stockton, and soon the railway era. So now we've moved from the 1700s to the early 1800s. The canals only really had a lifetime of, like, you know, this was the heady days of the Industrial Revolution, of maybe 20 or 30 years, something like that. And then the canals came. And the canals tended to be there, and the radio and the railways were built there. And there was a lot of fighting. And the canal people hated the railway people, and the railway people hated the canal people. But the railway people, they pushed on and pushed on and pushed on. And they laid tracks, and they built better engines. And soon, you've got trains that were running everywhere. And the canals went down, and the railways came up. And soon, the canals were nearly obsolete. In fact, a lot of them, in the end, started to get filled in. These days, they're trying to restore them, but they went down, the railways came up, and instead of a boat going at 4 miles an hour, tung, 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 across the canal, you had a train that was doing 60 miles an hour, unhindered by anything, going every here, there, and everywhere, on bridges, through tunnels, and it's like the whole, and the Industrial Revolution progressed again. I'm not going to talk about railways now. There's too much news about the railways now. But you know the effect that the railways had on the Industrial Revolution. I'm talking about the productivity of our country. And then came the combustion engine and cars and trucks. Trucks like you drive, Steve, and others. Great big trucks. It all came. But you know, they've only been around since the early 1900s. Mr. Rolls-Royce, or Mr. Royce, let's call him, built his first car only in 1904. It's not that long ago. And soon, instead of the canal, 4 miles an hour, and the train going at 50, 60 miles an hour, now you've got a car, or you've got a truck, or a van that was going anywhere. And they started to build roads. They started to develop the network of roads that we have. And soon, you could take a car anywhere, and you could take a van anywhere, and you could take a HGV Arctic Class 1, anywhere, according to GPS. They put you down little narrow roads these days, don't they? Just for those of you that are watching, he's a trucker, or spent most of his life being a trucker anyhow. And soon, the revolution changed. And goods, instead of being on the canal or being on the trains, they were now on the back of trucks. And it started to change our Industrial Revolution again. Nowadays, it's so progressed that you can order something from Amazon in the morning and it arrives by a truck in the afternoon. That's happened for us many times here. And you say, I only ordered it this morning, and a taxi will appear with a little, and it's like, what an amazing service is that. They keep talking to me about making deliveries via a drone. Now let's go back to my parents' day and your parents' day and say, can you imagine your parcel being delivered by a personal little aeroplane thingy-majiddly that comes in and drops it by your front door? And that was a ridiculous idea, wasn't it? It still is to me, like a driverless car. Who wants to go home in a driverless car? Not me. But it's happening, and these people are pioneers. This is the point that I'm making, that the issue for James Brindley doing a canal, people are saying, ridiculous, it's never going to happen, is the same thing that Amazon are facing right now with their drone, or Tesla, or whoever, with their driverless car. But it's pioneer, it's pushing on, it's developing, it's stretching the boundaries. It's saying, okay, let's get to the bottom line. Today, the canals are only used for leisure. The railways are no longer fulfilling their potential, really, like they were. And who knows what the future is for that? That's all well and good, until we then take an analysis of the church. Is church still on the canal day, railway day, truck day, or drone day, or more? Many times I analyze church, and in my role apostolically of looking at churches, and I cry because churches are still trying to do church in the canal day. They're singing canal songs, having canal talks in a canal way. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about yesteryear, speaking in language that none of us speak anymore, singing songs that nobody sings anymore, in a way that, I'm not talking about destiny here. You know, sometimes we get criticized because they say that we're too cutting edge, or we're too current, or we're too... Well, listen, this is 2024 now. You know, I've been in ministry for 50 years, just over 50 years. When I first emerged onto the platform of ministry, Brian was there in those early days. In the way that we serve now, the way that we do, it's very different. If we were still doing what we did then, I tell you what, we would be outdated. We would be like many, we'd be like a canal barge at 4 miles an hour going down a canal. It still works. It's beautiful. It's quaint. There is still something good about that, but God has got a better way for us. God's got something new for us. God has got something. It doesn't change the gospel. It doesn't change the reason, the thing for which God had got hold of. It doesn't change that at all. But actually, there is something that needs to change in 2024 so that we can connect with and be current in the society in which we are living. You know, the Bible says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 37, 38. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. This is a new wineskin day. 2024 is a new day. It's a time to focus on the future in all that we do, in all that you do. You see, it's mindset. You know, every time I go to Africa, all our African pastors talk to us about the thing that holds a lot of Africa back is mindset. And I say to them, oh, it doesn't just hold Africa back. It holds England back. It holds every person back. Mindset. See, if we've got a mindset that is stuck back in the 1950s somewhere, then I want to tell you something. We're only going to have what the 1950s were. We've got to have a mindset that says, God, if you're doing a new thing, I want to see it. Do you not perceive it? That's a new mindset. We need to say to God, open my eyes that I might see. Open my eyes. Open my heart. We're in an exciting moment right now. You know, and as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord in 2024 with passion and zeal and excitement. And in this current time, if you don't like the idea of new wine in a new wineskin, then, you know, you're going to feel very uncomfortable because we're moving forward, we're motoring forward. You know, you've heard me say this sometimes, that good churches will grow. And sometimes people say, oh, we don't like the size of Destiny, it's too big. And I think any church that you go to that's a good church will grow. So, you know, feel free to go to a small church, but if it's a good one, it will grow. And just a few years' time, you're going to be complaining that that church is too big as well. We weren't like this size. We never set out just to grow a big church. We just set out to grow a good church. And I tell you, healthy churches grow, amen? And we ain't seen nothing yet. You know, we've got a headache coming to try and organize and administrate the blessings that God is going to trust us with. I want to prophesy it out to you. We've got a headache coming about how we don't bottle out or even bottle up what God is going to do, but we become a vehicle. We become a line of communication. We're an open canal, if you like, a rope open road, an open sky for the drone to fly in a modern day and say, come, Spirit of the living God, fall freshly upon us, because God has got massive, massive. I want a zeal of a pioneer, don't you? I got three little things to say before I finish. If you really want to focus on the future for your life and be absolutely in tune with what God is doing for your church, three things. Number one, turn your heart to dream about the future. Turn your heart, I'm talking about heart. Because out of the heart, you know, we need a heart filled with a godly dream about the future. How many times did we read early on in this message, don't think about the past, don't harp about the past. So turn your heart to dream about the future. When I know this is my calling, but I want you to share it with me. When I go to bed at night, I dream about the future. I dream about what could be. I dream about the Holy Spirit coming and moving in His church like He said He would. I dream about Jesus organizing, planning, building His church like He said He would. I dream about the church being alive and full of worship and of praise and generosity and serving and becoming a light in a dark place like He said He would. Because if this church is properly founded, and I believe that it is, with a proper vision, and I believe it has it, with proper leaders, and I believe we have them, with proper good members, and I believe that we have them, then our future, my, oh, my, oh, my, is more than we could imagine or dream or even think of. And we need to let our hearts dream about the future. Dream about it for you. I never make anything good. Wrong dream. Put in the new video. Video. Okay, well, that's a canal thing, isn't it? I just threw my video player away. My grandchildren looked at this thing like a video. How many of you remember videos? Like a big thing like this. And asked me what it was. We need to be an online thinking people with our hearts filled with a godly stream. Yeah, let God stream something into your heart of what He's doing. Number two, teach your heart to embrace the future. You might have got hurt somewhere. Teach yourself to heal and get over it. You might have been overlooked somewhere. Teach yourself to get over it and stay involved. You might have misunderstood something, or you were misunderstood, or something disconnected you. Get over it. Teach your heart. You know, if we don't get over something, if we get bitter, unless we get better, we'll get even more bitter. We need to get over it. And we need to teach our heart. You know, the Bible tells us to guard the heart because it is the wellspring of life. So number two is teach your heart to embrace the future. And thirdly, train your heart to respond with faith so that when God talks to us about a spiritual drone, we don't say, no, that's never going to happen. But we've trained our heart to say, like Mary said, be it unto me as you've said. I don't understand it, I don't get it, but I'm training my heart to believe with future that God can do it. Because when God said, this gospel is going to be preached to all the earth and then the end will come, we say, oh no. But if we've trained our heart to respond with faith, we'll say, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Come on, let's believe for this, because I believe that incredible days are coming, but we need to train our heart to respond with faith. See, faith is the key. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this, teach your heart. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. God's got a great plan for you. He's got a great plan for us. He's got a great plan for this country, actually. Despite what politicians or economists or especially the media are doing and saying, way above and beyond all of them, there is God who said, I will bless you, I will build my church, I will bless those that bless you. When we bless somebody, God's blessing goes on and on and on. And I believe that's going to be true for our country, true for our church, true for your family, true for you. See, in the middle of all of this, there's an ache in your heart. And you say, oh, God, how? Well, give that to God. I don't know how God's going to bring you through, but I believe He will. I don't know how God is going to change your circumstances, but I believe He will. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I know somebody who does know. He knows the end from the beginning. This is a beautiful song that the band are going to play that is maybe a new song to you, and it's just reminding us that God has still got plans for our city, for our church, for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and Sing along with it if you can. And if you've got an ache in your heart, oh God, how am I ever going to win through this? Give it to God. And rather than focusing on it, focus on the future. Focus on the promise of God. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to make today the day that you come to faith in Jesus. Come on, let's stand together.